The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio with Dr. Alex Hubline and Dr. Josh Claypo. This is Adapt or Perish.
Welcome to Adapt or Perish, along with Dr. Alex Hubline, president of Adaptogen. I am Dr. Josh Claypo. Alex, how are you today?
Great, man. It's Friday. So it's a good day.
It is a good day. We were chatting before we started the show of my epic, most excellent adventure to the UK and to visit my son. And, you know, today we're talking about messages for success, crafting the message to go to market. I will tell you this. It was really interesting, you know, and let me ask you this. Do you all have international clients with Adaptogen or multinational?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, most of our customers are actually multinational. We have customers that are headquartered in the U.S. and Canada, but also a lot of customers in Europe, some in Asia as well that are headquartered there. But most of them are multinational.
So we're talking about the topic today is the police. It's message in the bottle, which is, come on, you couldn't have had a Styx reference. Like, I mean, man, that was easy.
I mean,
message in the bottle.
That or the Grand Illusion. So, I mean, I didn't think that was really necessarily appropriate.
Yeah, and we've used the Grand Illusion in past shows. But the idea is crafting the right go-to-market messages so that you are successful. And successful can be anything, right, from, you know, obviously revenue, but to market differentiation, et cetera. And the reason that I was even bringing up the multinational is because part of my experience when I was visiting my son was, you know, you talk to people from Italy or the UK, or you talk to people from Scotland, or you talk to anything like that, and different messages are going to resonate a different way. And we could argue that even within our nation, how we message makes a huge difference. And so, you know, that's what we're going to dive into today. What are your thoughts? You have an interesting company in that it sometimes is hard for people outside of the immediate market to understand. So I'm sure you've had a lot of challenges in messaging, message crafting and message deployment.
Yeah. I mean, crafting go-to-market messages and marketing messages and things like that. I mean, it's an art, you know, it's part art and it's part science. And that's one of the things that makes it a bit challenging. And one of the hardest things is you just don't know ahead of time sort of how your messaging will be received by the audiences that you're trying to go after. And then you go international and that exacerbates the problem, right? You're not even sure this is going to work in your sort of home market. And then you start working in other countries and other cultures and you find that it makes the problem even more complex. But it's definitely something we've spent a lot of time working on over the last year or so, because what we found was that, you know, our biggest problem as a company was that there was just a lack of awareness of what we did and what we could do for our customers and for organizations out there. And so, you know, one of the challenges that we ran into was, I mean, the first challenge we ran into was, you know, do we have the right message? Are we taking our products to market, and are we positioning them and messaging them in a way that's going to resonate with, you know, people that have specific challenges that we can help them solve or want to go after opportunities that we can help them go after? And what we found was that it's a very complex process. We sort of for many years kind of had a one size fits all message to the marketplace, and it was very product centric. And you see this in a lot of companies, right? Everybody wants to talk about their stuff. They want to talk about their products. They want to talk about their services and how great they are and how many cool features they have.
But of course they do. That's what we're selling.
Well, it is. But the challenge is, you know, I mean, it's coming from within rather than thinking about necessarily the audience that you're trying to reach. And that's a big challenge, because what the big mistake I see a lot of companies make is that they will go off and, you know, basically go to market with messages that are all about them. And that's, you know, sometimes that works, but most of the time what you find is that doesn't actually resonate with most of the people that you're trying to get to. Particularly when it comes to sort of technology, a lot of people think, well, we're marketing and we're creating messaging for a bunch of technologists. And, you know, when you get into enterprise software, specifically the area that Adaptigent's in, you know, what we found is that people tend to care more about less about the features and the speeds and feeds and all that good stuff, all the cool technical capabilities. And they're much more interested in what will this do for me? Right. Mm-hmm. What's in it for me? How is this going to solve a specific roadblock or pain point or whatever I happen to have? What's it going to do for the business? What's it going to do for the big picture? And so, you know, one of the things we've had to do is kind of flip the script, if you will. So stop talking so much about us and start talking about things like, well, here's how we've helped a major airline or a major bank or a major insurance company solve these specific challenges. And so, you know, and it's funny because you still see this happen a lot, though, in the marketplace. People want to talk about themselves, and what they really need to be doing is creating messaging that's going to resonate with the pain points or the opportunities that are there.
I was waiting how long into the podcast, into our show, it was going to take till you use the word pain points. No, seriously.
Six minutes, evidently.
Yes. The pain points. Can I ask you a question? Now you came out of a business school and I didn't, but before you got into industry, had you ever heard the term pain points?
No.
Yeah.
No, only with regard to older people complaining about their joints. Maybe, yeah, right?
Listen.
Like an Asper cream commercial, maybe. You know, you've got joint pain, were your pain points? But, you know, you're right, though. I'd never really heard that term until I got out there.
Yeah, I mean, I used to work with clinically with patients with chronic pain and in rheumatoid arthritis. And so I remember coming in and going, pain points. And it sounded so weird, but, you know, psychologically, there's such a parallel between, I mean, it works in sales, but I think about it in marketing as well. And I'm going to say this, you know, as a psychologist, right? When you're interacting with a client, whether you're coaching them, or, you know, you're doing therapy, man, you're marketing. And if your message doesn't fall right, then your client's not buying it. And it's really interesting because if you think about it, much like an industry, a lot of times if I'm coaching a client or I'm seeing somebody, you know, I know what will work for them, just like you all do. You know what will work for them. But that doesn't matter because it's not what you know that'll work for them. It's what they think they want or they need, even if that's not what they want or need.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you get that part wrong, to your point, they're not going to listen to you.
Well, and particularly with your messaging, right? Because I was thinking about sales, but if you think about it, you don't get to sales and this and that more intimate connection with sales if your marketing message is not right, because they won't even accept a call, if you will.
Oh no, right. Absolutely. They won't accept the call. You're not generating interest, you're not generating any kind of curiosity within your customer base or your prospective customer base, you know, as to what you can do for them and how you can help them solve those pain points. And I think that, you know, going back to the pain point term, it's an interesting term because we use it all the time these days, particularly in sales. There's this old saying in sales that if there's no pain, there's no change.
Yeah.
And if there's no change, you're not selling anything, man, because people will stick with the status quo the vast majority of the time. And so I think there's a couple of things we've learned about it. One is that, you know, you've got to be able to understand who you're talking to. You've got to understand the audience you're trying to go after. And if you don't understand that, nothing else matters. You can craft beautiful messages, beautiful stories, whatever. And if they're targeted at the wrong people or the wrong group of people or the wrong market or segment or whatever, it's not going to do you any good. Because you're missing the mark, right? Great stuff, great messaging, but you're going after an audience that isn't ever going to be interested in your stuff. So one of the first things that we had to do was really figure out, you know, we started out and said, well, what are the messages we want to get out there? But then we had to kind of take a step back and say, well, who's the audience? And what we found very quickly is that asking that question presumes that you have like this homogeneous audience, and you almost never do, unless you're into sort of consumer goods. And even then, I think you're targeting different segments. But when you get into more specific products, you really have to figure out not just who is my audience, but who are my audiences, plural. So yes. What different segments of this market am I trying to go after? And a message that resonates with a technical person may not resonate at all with a CIO or a CTO type person, right? Can very much depend on the level within the organization. And that message that resonates with the CIO or a CTO may not resonate with a line of business executive or other roles within an organization. So the first thing we learned was that, you know what, you've got to get very clear, not just on what your message should be and not just what your audience is, but how many audiences are you trying to go after? And you can break those down in a lot of different ways, right? Sometimes you're going after things from an industry standpoint. So stories that might resonate well in the banking industry might not resonate well in the transportation and logistics industry. So you have to craft your messages as you go to market, and you've got to be very, very clear on your how many audiences are you going after? What are the characteristics of those audiences? And then be able to take your messaging and modify it and adapt it appropriately for each of those individual segments of the marketplace. And I think that's true of people as well, right? I'm sure you've come across situations in your career where one of your patients, the type of messaging that you use and the way you talk about things may go over very well. And then a seemingly similar patient or organization or whatever, you might give them that same message and it won't resonate at all with those. So I think this even goes down to an individual level. Obviously, it's very difficult to craft individual messages when you're going to market, but that's one of the first things that we learned.
You're listening to Adaptive Parish on Tony Curry Radio. I'm Josh Claypool along with Dr. Alex Hubline. Okay, so Alex, yes, and I was just, as you were talking about that, I was thinking part of the challenge you have, and maybe this is more of a sort of population health perspective. The reason I say that is when we think about public health, we want to say we care about everybody, and we do, but we can't craft a message that works for everybody. And in fact, we know that some messages that are going to work for some people not only may not work for others, but may turn people away. And so we're hitting the base rates, or we're hitting our target base rates. Who do we really care about? I see that being very difficult a lot of times for businesses who want to broaden their market, or they're afraid of alienating, if you will, I don't know, potential customers. Like they don't want to go in this direction with a message because they feel if we say this, that's great, but then this group is not going to, you know, they're not going to be interested. They're not going to get it. They're not going to understand. You know, is there a time where you just basically have to say, you know, if you're the head of marketing, you're the head of strategy or head of revenue, say, you know what? That's too bad. That's just the way we're going to do it, because we can't have a message that doesn't resonate with anybody. We don't want a message that gets lost in, you know, the noise. But can you have this sort of, is it possible to have a generic message that also resonates with lots of people and that isn't just kind of blown off as, you know, nothing or just noise in the background?
You know, I think it's hard to do that. And again, it kind of depends on the industry that you're in. Some industries that you see have messages that are very broadly applicable and very broadly received because they're targeting something that everyone has in common. So for instance, food manufacturers, right? They will try to target, you know, this thing tastes great, or it's lower calorie or whatever. I mean, they're going after very broad consumer based, messages and pain points or things that will resonate with a broad number of consumers. I think when you get into the business to business world, as opposed to the business to consumer world, it gets harder to craft a message that will work, you know, very broadly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So within those organizations, right? It's very hard. And right. So what I see a lot of people do is they'll look at the market, they'll look at the segments in the market. And the first mistake is they'll try to take, well, what do all these have in common? And we'll focus on that. And, you know, again, sometimes that works. If you're a consumer product goods company, you can maybe pull that off. As you get more specialized, though, it's ironic that that becomes actually more difficult and you end up, like you said, with a message that doesn't work for anyone. So to summarize that, I mean, one of the things that we've learned along the way is, you know, don't take a bunch of messages and say to yourself, well, we're going to dumb these down to the lowest common denominator so that we can have one message or one sort of campaign, if you will, that suits everyone, because it probably won't work for anyone. Again, in the consumer world, maybe, but you start to get into the more specific business world, that type of lowest common denominator messaging, we've at least found that it generally doesn't work.
So, all right. So we've got lots of people listening to this and, you know, from a variety of different industries. And, you know, I don't know, but your degree is not in marketing. My degree is not in marketing. But I do know that from a communication standpoint, not just you and I were talking about this earlier. It's really interesting to me to watch external messaging. So we are the company. We're trying to create messages for our potential clients or customers, whether that's, I'm going to say it, whether that's B2B, B2C. But a lot of times internally, companies, the individuals in the companies, they don't know their own message. They don't know. And I don't mean so much their marketing message. And I don't even mean so much our, you know, a vision or a vision statement or a mission statement, but they literally, there's variations in what is our understanding of our own message that is going out to our particular clients. And my experience has been part of the problem with that is, you know, I had a CEO, a friend who always said, everyone's a salesperson. Doesn't matter if you work for this company, at some point, if you're talking about what you're doing, you are in sales. And so a lack of internal understanding of what the message is can that, you know, that can create a lot of confusion going outward as well as for miscommunication. I don't know if you've experienced that or seen that within your own company or companies that you worked with.
Oh yeah. I mean, all the time. And it's really insidious, right? Because, you know, a couple of years ago, we didn't really have our messaging very well aligned. And by that, I mean that we had salespeople saying one thing, we had marketing saying something different, and we had our website saying something a little bit different. There was no coordination among the messages, right? So if you went to our website and then you talked to one of our salespeople and then you got a marketing message from us, you would end up saying, wow, I'm not even sure what this company is.
And when someone yelling, damn it, update the webpage. Somebody was supposed to update the webpage. Why isn't our webpage updated?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's always the webpage. Yeah. I always feel like it's somebody forgot to update the webpage. It is always that. But yeah, no, I've seen the same thing.
Yeah, it absolutely can be. And, you know, when you get into situations like that, where you are, you know, you're sending mixed messages, you know, you're kind of diluting what you're doing from any of those perspectives, right? You're confusing your prospects, you're confusing potentially your existing customers, and you end up in a situation where if the messages are fundamentally different enough and you're going after and crafting sort of messages by department, you can end up in a situation where you're not coordinating your efforts, right? So unless you've got sales saying the same thing and marketing saying the same thing and your website saying the same thing, and your support people saying the same thing, if those aren't aligned, you can not only end up diluting what you're trying to do from a messaging standpoint, but you can create a lot of confusion. And that's never good when you're trying to go out there and win deals.
So, you, by the way, you're listening to Adaptive Parish on Tony Curry Radio. I'm Josh Claypo along with Alex Hubein. So, Alex, which is more important? You know, again, if you've got people, in your marketing department, and they are out trying to create messages, trying to understand the potential customer base. And this is whether you have a huge corporation or not. You know, you're almost, when you talk about internal understanding of messaging and internal miscommunication around that messaging, I mean, you're hedging on corporate culture, but how important is it to make sure that it's working internally simultaneously as externally? I mean, I can see it, yeah, as okay. Marketing came up with this great initiative. It goes out. Everything is going great. We're making lots of sales. Everybody jumps on board, but it's rare that it's exactly that way. How much and whose responsibility do you think it is to be working internally to make the message consistent? Is that marketing?
Yeah, it's a really good question because, I mean, in most companies, that's no one's job.
Right. That's why.
Yeah, right. I mean, there's nobody who's, I guess in really big companies, you have sort of corporate communication people,
right,
that might play that role. But I think it's really interesting in a software company and probably other industries is that, you know, one of the things I like to do, and I've been doing this for a long time, And I was reading an article that Jeff Bezos from Amazon does this as well. But it's, you know, like when we're coming out with a new product or something, or we're dreaming up new products, the first thing that I do is I build the marketing brochure for it. I don't sit down with the development team and say, hey guys, here's all the cool features we want this thing to have, or here's how it should work or anything else. The first thing we do is we build the marketing for it. And that may sound very backwards, but it turns out it's a really smart thing to do, at least in my experience, because you're not ending up with a bunch of people that are going to go off and build this product just thinking in terms of features and functions and capabilities. They're thinking in terms of what will the impact be to the people that are going to buy this thing. And if you start with that in mind, here's what this thing is going to do. Here's how it's going to change the world. Here's how it's going to be valuable to our prospective customers someday. Then that sets the right tone for going off and getting people aligned around what it is we're actually building in the first place. And so it's less about this product has to have these features or these characteristics or these performance objectives or whatever. It's all about saying, here's what this thing is going to do for the world and for our customers and for the other constituents, and focusing on that first, and then letting those very smart people who are going to go build your products, letting them figure out how to achieve those objectives. So I think not only is it important from an external communication standpoint, but you can use these messages to actually drive new product development. And I think it's something that's been very successful over the years for me.
Do you think that sometimes we get overly focused on the nuances of our messaging? I'm saying that with some hesitation because some of my best friends are marketing experts, and obviously it's so critical. But I have worked with organizations where I've seen them get so tied up in the messaging. I mean, literally down to, you know, the sentence structure. And there is this feeling that at some point, isn't it good enough? That for two reasons. One, slowing the process down of getting things out and getting out to the market. But two, creating maybe some internal friction around, you know, I like the sentence structure. Marketing came up with this, and it's this color versus that color, and here's how our use case should be. And again, while all that's important, can we get so caught up in what the brochure needs to look like that we literally lose our sense of what is it that we're actually doing? Do you think, or am I overstepping that?
No, look, I think you're totally right. You can get caught way too much up in the details of exactly how you're going to say something. And not only do you run the risk of wasting a lot of time doing that, trying, you know, there's the old saying that perfection is the enemy of good enough. Mm-hmm. Or whatever, right? I mean, it can be an inhibitor to progress, right? Sometimes getting the right messaging out to the marketplace and then tweaking the messaging as you go along based on feedback, probably a better approach than trying to sit there for days or weeks or months trying to get the messaging exactly right. But you also run the risk of it sounding very mealy-mouthed, you know? I mean, using a bunch of terms that sound odd. And if you go read most companies' press releases, you'll see what I mean. They're very carefully constructed. They're well-written and they sound like, you know, some kind of robot wrote them. There's very little. And so what they do to combat that is that they'll put in quotes from people that never actually said what they're going to say, what they actually are quoted as saying. The marketing person came up with those quotes. Well, our CEO said blah, 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 blah. Right. And it's pretty laughable, right? Because you're thinking, nah, that's not how that guy talks. Right. So you run the risk of being very disingenuous. And I'm a big believer, and I think one of the other lessons we've learned around this is that you've got to connect with people. People are the only things in the world that buy anything at the end of the day. Some person is going to make a decision. Now, sometimes it's a group of people, but ultimately there's one person who's got the money that says, all right, you know what? We're going to buy this thing. And the trick is making sure that you resonate with people on a human level. And one of the best ways of doing that is telling stories. So I'm a big believer in storytelling, because when you think about language in general, we humans invented language. And one of the very first things we used it for, other than saying, hey, you know, Dr. Josh, there's a saber-toothed tiger behind you, you need to run. Outside of the survival piece of it, we used it for storytelling. Mm-hmm. So storytelling and language are inextricably connected. And so if you go out and your message is all about me and it's all about my company and my products and so on and so forth, and it doesn't tell a good story to people, then you end up in a situation where people just go, oh, this is more of that corporate marketing gobbledygook that I don't want to listen to. So being able to craft a good story, and whether that story is a case study of what you've done with other companies that are like the ones you're trying to sell to, or sometimes they're even sort of personalized stories, right? Where you're bringing in personal elements of it, but being able to tell that story and tell it well and keep a listener's attention or a reader's attention as they're going through it, that we found is very, very critical, because that resonates with people. They say, oh yeah, no, I have the same exact problem that other company that you're talking about had, or wow, we haven't come across that problem, but I could definitely see how that might occur now that you've sort of told the other story. So being able to go out there and craft good stories as part of your message that will resonate with humans. And I read an interesting book on this a while back. And it basically said that every story, just about every story you tell, is like a Disney movie, right? And it has a plot, right? It's like, you know, so-and-so and such, we're doing just fine and living happily. And then this thing came along that disrupted what they were doing. And then they had to find a solution. So they went on an adventure and then they defeated the enemy or whatever, and then lived happily ever after. Right. I mean, it's like this, there's a structure to stories that people are just attracted to, right? You need to have a protagonist and an antagonist, and you've got to have plot devices and things like that. So we don't quite get down to that level, but keeping that in mind is that every kind of message that we're really going to market with ultimately has to tell a story, either about our products or about our services or about the context in which they've been used and how they've saved the world and saved companies millions of dollars or whatever. Being able to craft those stories, I think, is a critical component of any messaging strategy.
I love it. I love that's such a great takeaway, because that works regardless of the size of your company, regardless of your industry. It's a great heuristic. Okay, I'm blanking on it. I think it's the Stones. Every picture tells a story.
Oh, yeah, I think so. I think you're right.
Tony Curry's listening to this and we're wrong.
Tony Curry's, yeah, he's going to be upset with us if we get any music references wrong. But I think it's interesting though, like, because, you know, taking that back to the music.
No, I think it's Rod Stewart. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I mean, some of the best albums tell stories.
Right?
Songs tell stories, right? Now, you can go overboard with it, right? And again, we'll use my favorite example of Rush. You know, those guys spent like half an album side telling stories back in their early days. And I think people kind of got tired of it and they got tired of doing it. But this idea that music in general, almost every song you listen to tells some kind of story. They're not just a bunch of words strung together. They tell a story, whether it's a personal story or it's a story about life, or most of them are stories about relationships, right? Like 80% of songs out there, I'm convinced, are about relationships. And because that's something that resonates with everybody. Everybody has relationships. Everybody has romantic relationships. Everybody, you know, ends up having relationships that don't go right or that go great or whatever. So I think that's one of the appeals of popular music. And one of the reasons that I would argue, I haven't done any research on it, but the majority of popular songs throughout the ages have been about personal relationships. And because that is a unifying topic that every single person can relate to. So in that regard, being able to talk, you know, tell a story as you go to market is very, very similar to the way that bands tell stories in their songs. And I think it's what pulls people in and gets them more involved than just listening to the music. They're listening to the lyrics and they're hearing a story told through both words and through music. And that I think is one of the greatest things about music over the years, is that it connects with people at such a deep level because people have experienced a lot of the things these stories talk about. And you can use the same ideas, maybe not stories about relationships, but you can use some of those same concepts to drive your message to market if you're a business or an organization that needs to get out there and craft a new message and get it into market so you can be successful.
All right. Before we wrap, one editorial note. I have made a mistake. Every picture tells a story, written and or actually sung and performed by Rod Stewart. And the chorus goes, "So remember, every picture tells a story, don't it? Every picture tells a story, don't it? Every picture tells a story, don't it? Woo, woo." So we always want to be factual. We always want to stick with it. I just wanted to make sure that we got that in before we were done. That is the time that we have for today's show. Thank you for joining us on Adapter Parish, along with Dr. Alex Hubline. I don't even know who the hell I am. I'm Dr. Josh Klapo, and stay tuned to Tony Curry Radio because you're going to hear yet another amazing segment of Adapt or Parish.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.